The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm really excited to welcome back our guest of honor today, COO and co-founder of JID Investments LLC, John Rubino. John, welcome back, sir.
Cody, great to be here. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so fun the first time we had to have you back. Just in case folks did miss the first episode, if you wouldn't mind, give us a little bit about yourself, how you found yourself getting into real estate, where you're from, and what you guys are up to these days.
Yeah. So the last time we spoke, same thing. You know, I was from Brooklyn, New York, went to college in the Bronx and in New York, graduated in 97, a long time ago. Got a third mate's license, a degree in business, and then I got my commission in the Navy. And from 97 to 2017, I served as a naval aviator, flying aircraft for the Navy. You can see those behind me there. And I retired back in 2017, got a family of four. We live here in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. Been here for about 10 years now. And I started in real estate sometime around 2005, 2006 timeframe. Started doing some active investment on a new construction home building with some friends who were in the military with me. That went real well. But that at that point, I was about halfway through my career knowing that I was going to stay in. So I did a overseas tour for 3 years in Naples, Italy, which was awesome. And I started to passively invest with a lot of those guys that I was partnering with when I was actively investing. And these guys were doing real well. They were giving me some fantastic returns passively. And I was learning more about the business on the passive side, looking at things like demographics, performas, cost analysis, looking at markets, really digging into the data and growing my understanding of these packages from kind of the outside looking in, being more of the money piece and not being more of that active side, which I kind of liked, you know, because I had my, you know, 7-to-7 job or whatever it was at the time in the military. And it was nice to come home and be able to go through my emails, look at these deals, but at the same time, not having to be there day to day, which was great. So I got back to the DC area around 2012, 2013, had a tour at the Pentagon and about 4 years left to go in the military. I said, I think I want to be a business owner when I grow up. I decided that I wanted to take the model I had for the passive investment and bring it into making it into a business. So at the time I had my accountant, who's now my CFO of the company, I pitched it to him. He loved it. We spent about a full year putting the business together. We launched in April of 2013. And fast forward to 2021, we've completed 17 projects. We're currently investing on 9 much larger projects that we've done previously. And we're doing a lot. We're bringing in new and accredited investors who want to join us on our passive deals. We're meeting new sponsors that have projects we can help fund. And we typically raise about $500,000 to $5 million a project. We bring those deals through our business and bring them over to our investors who have an opportunity to invest, typically at around a $25,000 to $50,000 level, along with our capital and their capital. We raise that capital for the project. And we usually come in as a limited partner or as a co-general partner, typically under a SEC 506 B or C. So that's typically how we set that up. So it's been great. Having fun, but at the same time, learning a ton. And it's been a journey. It's been a journey. You blink your eyes and you're in business 8 years. It's like, holy cow, where'd that come from? So happy to be here and share. And that's where we're at.
Great. Well, listen, thank you again for coming. And again, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I said it last time. It's just so incredible to hear that you've been in almost every facet of real estate, single family, multifamily, both sides of the fence from active to passive. So you have a really wide understanding, a really good understanding of what all goes on it and what does it take to get a deal done, to see it through to fruition. So I would imagine, though, everything hasn't always been smooth. And that's really why we're here, to help educate our audience that it's not always easy. It's not always a home run. Thinking back through your career, what comes to mind with things that were either a challenge or a bad experience that you learned from that hopefully our audience can too?
Well, you're always learning, right? I mean, big picture is just, you know, being open to what you need to learn, right? Going out and making sure that you know, anything that's new or something you come across that you learn, that you try your best to make it part of your process, add it to your checklist, making sure that you revisit that. And you listen, we're all prone to risk. We're all prone to learning lessons. So when you do have those opportunities, hopefully it's a soft landing. If it's a hard landing and you know, it hurts a little bit, you still learn from it. But at the end of the day, you got to be humble and recognize the fact that, you know, not everybody knows everything. So putting yourself around the right people to help you and your business, putting yourself around mentors, you know, people that you could bring on as consultants or direct hires or teams or whatever to help make you better is always important. Specifically, yeah, we've had a couple of bumps and bruises pretty early in the process. We had on our third project a borrower who we had done two previous deals with. We hit, you know, I would say grand slams on them. And you kind of get into a routine, which is not good at times if you become complacent, where you're like, hey, this guy's going to continue to hit grand slams for us. So, you know, we don't have to worry so much about him. But you got to treat every deal, especially if it's subsequent deals with the same sponsor, as the first deal. You treat them all the same. You do your research, you do your analysis, you look at the deal information that they send, and you go out and you do your independent analysis from what the market tells you. And you know, hopefully everything lines up well. But if there's disparity there, you have to raise the flag to say, hey, why is your information saying X, but the market's saying Y, and try to get that hammered out, especially when you go to a group of investors that you you know, not necessarily represent, but you kind of are covering their equities and making sure that, you know, you're protecting them and their money. So that's very important. And, you know, you learn those lessons, you kind of incorporate them into your process. When the spidey senses start kicking in on a deal from those things you learned, you know, then you know, okay, something's going on here. Let's pull the string on it a bit.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're talking about it. We're always learning. And I think that's the most important thing. And if you have that mentality, I think most people that are really successful in life, they're always learning. They're students of their craft, their profession, whatever you want to call it. I am interested for, especially for you with your career and how you got into real estate and where you've been on in your career on both sides of the fence. If somebody's interested in getting into real estate investment, find it easier maybe to start on the passive side and then make your way over to the active side? Or what would it take for somebody to jump in on the active side? What are your thoughts on that? Because I know and hope that some people are listening or maybe on the fence on what do I need to do or how do I get started?
Yeah, I mean, great question. There's a lot of information out there, but at the same time, you know, my take is everything has pros and cons, right? You take a sheet of paper, you put down pros and cons, and you make your list out. And from my perspective, when I look at the list on the passive investment side, there's a lot less cons than there are pros. There's more pros and cons, I think, on the passive side. I feel that as an active sponsor and an active operator, there's a lot more liability you're taking on, recourse loan debt. You're taking on personal guarantees. You're taking on the day-to-day operations. Now, if this is your full-time job and you want to do this full-time and you have the resources to do it full-time from both, you know, people and capital, and you're finding good deals and you're able to do it, then go for it. And if you feel confident that you could do it, go for it. Again, make sure that you understand as much as you can the ins and outs. You can plan as much, but eventually you're going to have to take the plunge and do it. For me, I like it on the passive side because, again, I'm very risk averse. I don't want to be directly responsible for a lot of the day-to-day stuff that an active sponsor is. And that's why I like to be more on the passive side. Plus, I like what I do and it keeps me busy. And I'm making money. So, you know, I got enough on my plate. I don't need to be worrying about tenants and being the person that gets the call at night and you know, dealing with the GC directly. Now, we still have accountability as far as how that process is going with the sponsor. And we still have to make sure that, hey, you know, why are you delayed 2 months? And what's that going? What's that doing to my returns? And how do I make sure I convey this properly from what you see to my investors? You know, that's still very much in my lane. But a lot of those other things I mentioned that are kind of more risk liability concerns and challenges that I would have as an active piece, I really don't want to take that on.
I'm interested with what you do on a daily basis. What's the biggest challenge you find with dealing with investors
Oh, that's a great question.
I would imagine we have some folks listening that maybe are on the GP side and are having to deal with investors. Maybe it's their first time or still early in their career. What are some of the challenges and ways that you've gotten through those challenges with dealing with investors?
Well, our process is one that is a little unique where I don't go out and try to raise money when I have a deal where I'm going out to new investors. I want to bring investors on before they even see a deal. And the reason why is because I want to make them comfortable with me, my business, who I am, come out and meet me in person. Let's go get lunch. Let's go tour our projects, go through all of our information, have a couple of calls in person or, you know, meet in person and have a couple of calls and really get comfortable with us. Get comfortable with what we're doing, making sure it's a good fit for you. And if it is then, and you meet the criteria and you join us as a new investor, there's no strings attached there. You get the opportunity to see every deal we've done, we're doing, and we're going to do. And the ones that we're going to do, you get the chance to determine whether or not it's a good fit for you. And if you want to invest, if you don't, you don't have to. You just pass on it and go to the next one. Once you decide you do want to do the deal, you get all of the documentation you need that gets you the sound decision. You get the private placement. You get access to me 24/7, my partner, David, 24/7, to ask all the questions you have. And if it gets to the 11th hour and you still don't want to do the project, you don't have to. So we make it very much accommodating to the investors to make it empowering for them to enjoy the experience of just coming on board and learning about us. I think the biggest challenge with investors, and I think it's probably the case a lot of times, is there's some miscommunication on specific deals. Maybe there's some misunderstanding on certain things that, you know, they didn't clearly understand in some of the paperwork. So, you know, the paperwork, as you can imagine, is very, very intense. You know, private placements can range from 50 to 100 pages. There's a lot of documentation. So, you know, the call I get, you know, maybe halfway through the project was, well, you didn't tell me this and you didn't tell me that. And it's like, well, you know, did you read page 25 of 40 on the PPM? And when they do, they go, oh, okay, got it. And again, it's not like I'm throwing that in their face. I'm here to work with them, but I just want to make sure that they understand. And that's the challenge. You know, you get investors too that, you know, if you unfortunately come down a couple of percentage points on the deal because of things that just happen out of your control, they get very upset or frustrated. And you have to try to convey to them, look, I can't control the fact that we had a global pandemic last year. I can't control that there's inflation. I can't control that there's a change in the cycle, but we still have to be prepared for that. And we tell them this was our mitigation strategy if that happens. And we have multiple exit strategies and we have ways to make sure that your money is protected. And then we still are looking to make you a very solid return.
Sure. And I love that the focus that you guys have is more so on the relationship with you and your company, not so much the deal itself. It's about building that trust and relationship with you. And I would imagine that goes a long way, that when those issues do arise in the communication or whatever aspect with the investor, it's easier to fall back on the relationship and trust that you've built with the investor, as opposed to trying to rely on the metrics and numbers of a deal.
Yep. I couldn't say any better. And that, again, just reinforces the strategy we have, that I don't want to pressure someone into coming into a deal when I need the capital. I'd rather them be on board, ask the questions before we even have something, so that, again, they get comfortable. I'll send them 2, 3, 10 PPMs, private placements. They can go through the paperwork. They can ask us the questions. There's no pressure on them because, you know, we may not have a deal right away. We may have a deal in 3 or 4 or 5 months. It just depends. So they get the opportunity to go through what we call, I guess, the onboarding process to make sure that they're comfortable and have access to us. And then when a deal comes, then they're like, oh yeah, I've read this before on that private placement. I know that these guys are doing these deals in this market. I know that John has done this type of deal before. So this is not something new for him. So that's that comfort. Again, it's all about comfort. It's all about giving the investors the reassurance that you're going to protect them, and that you're going to do everything within your power and your control to make sure that their money is not going to be, you know, at risk to the point that, you know, it's going to either be lost due to mistakes and internal things, vice, you know, whatever happens in the market. And we're still going to try our best to get them those projected returns.
I love that. Communication is key. Trust and building those relationships is the foundation of that principle. So, John, I think that's as good a spot as ever to kind of wrap up. I truly appreciate the time. I know you're incredibly busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. So yeah. we really appreciate you jumping back on here with us. For those that maybe want to follow up with you, partner with you, find out more about your business, start to build that relationship, where's the best place people can find you?
So our website's got a great amount of information, including my contact info. You just go over to JID Investments, so www.jidinvestments.com, all one word there. I'm on LinkedIn, John Rubino. I have a YouTube channel, JID Investments LLC. We have Facebook page, Instagram, you know, all the social media handles are out there. So anytime anybody wants to reach out to learn more about us, they have a question about what we're doing, or if they have a question about, hey, I'm wanting to get into syndication, you have any words of wisdom, or I could say words of wisdom, but just advice or not information that you can share. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're local to the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, and you want to go get a cup of coffee, I'm happy to meet with you anytime if I could help.
Perfect. And I would consider it coming from you, definitely words of wisdom. So
thanks,
John, thank you so, so much again for coming on. We really appreciate it. We'll drop all that information in the show notes so people can follow up with you. But thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Cody. It was a pleasure being on. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too. And we'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.